Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
We're here with Peter Kenyon from Ramsdens today to talk about the business and how things are evolving. The Downing Strategic Investment Trust has been invested in Ramsdens since 2017. We really like the strong balance sheet and routes to organic growth that the business has access to, as well as the highly cash generative model and ability to pay a strong and growing dividend. So let's meet Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hi, James.
So before we jump in and talk about the business, perhaps you could just tell us a bit about your background and how long you've been with Ramsdens.
Okay, so quick run through, 18 A-levels, management development programme with Yorkshire Bank, progressed through the banking ranks, left to join a customer, then left to join another customer, which was Stuart Smith, who owned Ramsdens franchises at the time. So that was 2001. So I started, we had three stores, three franchises, and the first deal that I did for the business in 2002 was to buy out the franchisor, so then we could control the brand and then we could grow it. We grew incrementally under Stuart and Susan, they owned it, it's like family business, grew incrementally to about 2008 when we had about 26 stores. Gold price rallied, we grew really well, really quickly on the back of the gold price. Gold price fell in 2013. We were still profitable, still cash generative, traded through all that. 2014, Stuart and Susan decided they wanted to retire. I got the opportunity with the management team to do a management buyout with North Edge. Andy Meehan, who's the chairman, now joined at that time. And then we traded with North Edge for a short period of time, but it was in a state of, the industry was in a state of flux. It was in a state of, you know, some distressed businesses, FCA coming along, changes to payday lending rules, which we had stopped by then. And we settled the business down, got ourselves in a great shape, got ourselves ready to grow again, IPO in 2017. And then here we are two years on the market and in a solid position and growing.
Well, that sounds like quite a journey. So you've really taken the business from its early stages of only three units up to how many sites are you now?
153 today.
153, fantastic. And I'm sure we'll come and talk about the expansion plans and all of that in due course. But perhaps let's go back and talk about the operations of the business, the revenue mix.
Okay. One half of the business is the foreign currency. So holiday notes, we have a travel card. We also then have international payments. If you have a house abroad and you want to make a bank-to-bank payment. The other half of the business is the jewellery side of the business. So the jewellery side of the business, three legs to it is, one, we do pawnbroking loans. So this is where people have the asset but have a short-term gap in their cash flow. So they come, they borrow the cash, we take the jewellery from them, they repay the loan and they get the jewellery back. The people who don't repay their loans, that jewellery comes to us and then we sell that generally on behalf of the customer to get the best price. We buy jewellery from customers and then we refurbish some that goes into our jewellery windows. And then the jewellery windows are supplemented with new jewellery. So the jewellery offering that we have, the jewellery retailing offering, is new and second hand. And that's the jewellery part of the business. And between those two sections, they're about 95% of what we do. And then there's some other little ancillary services that we do.
For an investor then, thinking about concerns around the high street and declining footfalls, and there's been a lot of negative press about the space in general, the business is actually quite well diversified. So you've got some quite cyclical parts in the FX and new retail, but then also some nicely counter-cyclical parts in the second hand and the pawnbroking. And the
it is. There's a good balance. There's a good balance because if times are hard, and there's a credit squeeze or whatever, you would expect pawnbroking to increase, gold buying to increase, or the purchase of precious metals to increase, because people are trying to raise cash. And we've seen that over the years. On the other side, on the flip side, jewellery is really a luxury item, a discretionary purchase. But secondhand is a bit more sort of value for money. So you do still get people, you know, trading in jewellery in hard times as well as good times. And then the foreign currency and the holidays, it's usually the last thing that people give up. Now, they might not go twice a year or they might not go for 2 weeks, but they usually will still have a holiday. So I think there is a balance there between, you know, the positive cycles and negative cycles.
And so when we come to talk about or think about the growth strategy for Ramsdens, how do you as a board approach that?
We have a formula that we'll just start repeating. It's nothing new. The difficulty of our business is, how do you see a jewellery window with a rate board in it and then understand that we do pawnbroking and the multi-service? So we've worked very hard with TV advertising, sports sponsorship over the years to make people aware of what we do. So that's a positioning that we've already made. So now it's, how do we do it more effectively and efficiently and then expand the estate? So the core estate, as we call it, these are stores that were open prior to December 2017. Those stores, every single one of them is profitable. And we've worked hard with our landlords on the flexibility of our leases as well. So if we are in the wrong position in a town, but we've got a good store, then whilst we're waiting to find the right unit, we've taken a flexible lease when it's been appropriate to do so. And if we've got a store, let's say that's more marginal, still profitable but marginal, we might have a flexible lease because if things do turn down, then we might want to relocate it. So the big expense, if you like, of the rent, we've tried to protect ourselves against.
And are you seeing any movement in the direction of rents in general? I mean, as some of the fashion retailers are having to withdraw some of their capacity?
I think it's a mixture. It really is a mixture. I think if you've got a town centre, where here in Middlesbrough we've got a hub, the Hill Street Centre where the store is, I think it's pretty full. Rents are probably, for the landlord, quite strong. Whereas if you go to other parts in Middlesbrough where there's empty shops and the rest of it, then I think the rents are quite low. But where the hubs are in towns, where the footfall is still drawn to, where they've got a good mix of retailers and haven't got too many retailers in a town, I think that hub is still thriving. I think the difficulty for retail and online, that challenge, I think if it's service orientated, so by that I mean you want to book a holiday. Isn't something tangible that you're necessarily going to pick up. You know, people can book a flight, book a holiday, and a lot of growth has happened online for that. The other thing about it is, if you go shopping to a high street retailer and you're out on a Saturday and you're thinking, do I like that shirt and what size should I have? People don't go and try it on anymore. What they'll do is they'll go home and order it. I'll have a large and I'll have an extra large and I'll try it on at home and see which one fits me best. And I'll send one of them back. Now, I think that is a substitution for high street retailers, whereas our growth of online is very recent, and as I said, it's expanding our reach across the rest of the UK. So I don't see that as substitution for ourselves. And because of the secondhand jewellery that we have, a lot of it is unique pieces, and the website allows our branches to see the breadth of product that we've got online. That's one of the initiatives that we're trying to get better at, to put more stock online, selling it to the wider public, but also to help support the branches when they're serving a customer. They've got more choice, they can see more product because of that secondhand nature. So I think that from a retail perspective, the footfall been slightly down, I think it's about 2 or 3% nationally, is possibly an issue. But I think as long as we expand into new areas where we've got good hubs, we'll be fine. And I think as long as I stay flexible where we're maybe not in the best parts of a town, then I think we'll be fine. Pawnbroking is a destination. They say we used to be suburban located, low overheads, because the customer would find you. It's a bit like a wedding dress. You find a bridal shop, they don't have to be in the middle of the high street, because it's that sort of like special purchase, niche purchase, if you like. So I think pawnbroking can sit in the suburbs quite well.
So in terms of the footprint of the estate then, can you just give us an outline of where you are, where you aren't, where you might be?
Oh, where we might be, huh? That might be a bit... So in terms of where we are, we are, I would say, we're strong across Scotland. We've got a strong heartbeat around this like Teesside, Tyneside area. We've got a good collection of stores in South Wales now. We've probably saturated that area, and then we've opened in Bristol. With the Money Shop acquisition that we did recently, we have got ourselves now, if you like, south to Derby and more into the northwest. And it was the two areas of where we wanted to grow anyway. So we wanted to come south, you know, south out of South Yorkshire, out of sort of Sheffield and Chesterfield, come down slightly, and then we wanted to go west into the northwest, you know, coming across from Halifax and Huddersfield, where we've been for a number of years. So I see that as a rippling and an infilling of where we want our new estate. In terms of shop locations, in terms of that core estate, we do look at are they in the right locations, and we're quite particular. So, you know, so we'll go for a flexible lease and we'll wait for the right unit to appear and be patient, because we might want to be on a 80 or 100 yard stretch of high street, and that's where we want to be because we think that's where the biggest footfall is, and that's where we'll do best with retail and foreign currency.
And I think that ability to put the brakes on if there isn't the right opportunity is something that really appealed to us as investors. So there have been many years where you haven't expanded the estate, but now you're seeing the right opportunities come about with the Money Shop acquisition. Yep. So what is the strategy around expanding the estate, and what can investors expect?
So we have a strategy to open 12 new stores a year. That's what we came to market with. We had a couple of opportunities for transactions in our first year, and we only opened 4 stores. We opened 9 stores in our last financial year, just ended in March, plus the acquisition of the Money Shop. It'll end up in 16 net stores. So we ended up doing far greater than our 12. Because that acquisition's coming right at the end, this year I think it'll probably be nearer 6. So we have some that are already in plan. So Gisborough's now opened in April. Doncaster will open probably start of May. We have 3 others that are going through the legal process. And then we might have 1, 2, or 3, depending on how well the Money Shop acquisition goes, gets bedded in, gets changed. We do all the shop fits that we want to do and make them more like a Ramsden's rather than the Money Shop that we purchased. So we can go full service.
And then turning back to the core estate, within the more defensive parts of the business, are there opportunities for growth there as well?
We've grown very nicely in this last year. We've attracted customers. We have a solid base that gives us repeatable customers, recurring income. It's a niche market. You can't go and advertise and go and get pawnbroking customers. I think it's about the solidity, it's about the customer relationships that the staff have, and it's that word of mouth grows that business. The gold buying or the purchase of precious metals that we do, we're in an advantageous position at the moment. The sterling gold price is quite high because of the weakness of sterling. The weight that we have bought over the last 3 or 4 years across that core estate has been exceptionally stable. And we're still continually trying to cross-sell into our customer base for customers who've got jewellery that they don't wear, are going to leave it to the next generation. Well, they might as well sell it and then spend that money on themselves, because the people who inherit jewellery will soon sell it if they don't want to wear it. So there's a ongoing conversation with customers around that. In terms of foreign currency, the mission statement that we have, the philosophy that we have, is we try to give the customer a great customer offering. We'll back it up with great customer service, and we'll try and get customers to be our ambassadors and spread the word. So with foreign currency, we have very good exchange rates. We can do that because we're sharing the costs across all our income streams. So we have very good, very attractive exchange rates for customers. 30% of the transacting customers this year have been new. So we're still attracting new customers for our foreign currency. So it's still a growing part of the business. And the retail side of it is something that we've underinvested for years. We are still learning lessons. Maybe we could have gone faster, but brought in consultants and done this and that and the other. But we generally like to go slow. We like to learn what we're doing and like to incrementally improve. We're always trying to continuously improve. So we've got some new silver ranges. We are expanding more into the premium watches. We've segregated in 53 stores so far, new jewellery and secondhand jewellery. So we can say, you know, to the foreign currency customer, this is new jewellery. So you don't have to go to other high street retailers. We can provide you with new jewellery, because it's often the perception that you know, pawnbrokers don't sell new jewellery. Well, we do. And then we've still got the second-hand bargains. We've got an extensive training programme going on with the staff to increase their skills on the products and the skills on the selling skills. So that is a journey that we're still going on. We're looking at the product mix, we're looking at the margins, we're looking at stock levels and stock turnover. And there's a lot of work that we can still do as we improve our retail. So we've still got expectations for our retail to improve, even against a backdrop of a retail climate that's not, you know, not fantastic currently.
Okay, so from the core estate, then the organic growth that we can expect to come through would be inflation plus, above inflation, certainly.
Across the breadth of the products, yes.
On the business as a combined operating unit. And then we've got further growth coming from the incremental new stores that are added to the estate over time.
You have a new store drag. So one of the things that we have is a new store will lose around £30,000 in its first year. Second year it gets into profitability, and then third year it would get into more profitability and then continue to grow.
So when we look at the forecast for the business, then actually there's going to be some opening costs in the first year of any new site opening.
Yes.
And then you'll start to get a nice steady stream of increasing revenue.
Yeah, that layering approach. So once you get into a three-year cycle, the three-year stores are growing more quickly than the new stores that you're putting on.
And we're just at the beginning of that now, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the first, you know, the first set, the 13 stores that we have opened collectively are doing better than budget. But, you know, that's what I'm here to try and do.
The business is very cash generative. That leads to a very nice net cash position on the balance sheet, which is reassuring for an investor.
It is. Some of that stock, because obviously it's in foreign currency and it's in sterling that washes around the tills. We can be a little bit more efficient, but because we have that cash, you know, we can make sure that we have that.
What is the cash balance?
It's about 14, 15 million. Yeah. So it gives us a good, you know, it's a good position. We, as well as our balance sheet, the strength of our balance sheet as well, is we have a lot of jewellery that has a value the next day because it can be melted for its intrinsic value. So if you like, the downside risk and the ability to generate cash is we have strengths against the downside risk. We have the ability to stop that investment and throw the cash off. And then we've actually got our assets that we can turn into cash as well. So from a thinking negatively, we have a lot of protections.
And being so cash generative leads to quite an attractive dividend stream for investors. How do you go about determining the capital allocation policy? You've got some quite attractive opportunities to expand the estate and invest in the retail offering, but also pay a dividend out takes away from that. So how do you strike that balance?
Okay, so when we came to market, we said it would be half out for shareholders and half invested in the business. That was our plan. And we set our first year dividend on that basis, if you like, working to that into our cash flows, etc. We then had some good opportunities to acquire a couple of jewellers and stores, and the investment in stock was paying off and giving us a better return. So the cash out to shareholders fell to about 40%. So, you know, 2.5 times covered dividend.
Even though the dividend has been maintained and increased.
And it's been increased.
Yeah.
Because we've improved the business.
Yeah.
Do I think we'll get to 50-50? Yes, I think we will. But I think because we've got opportunity at the moment, I think we'll have a progressive incremental dividend in a pound amount. I think that will definitely be our philosophy as we continue to grow the business and grow the cash generation. And then take advantage of the opportunities that we still have. So I think we'll still give a strong dividend flow and still reinvest.
So there's a very real opportunity for an investor to gain access to a business that's got a very strong balance sheet, able to grow revenues and earnings, but also pay a growing dividend at the same time.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's That's what we're here to try and do. And that's the philosophy. You know, it's a business that I'm strongly invested in. So, you know, it's what I want it to do. You know, I want it to be secure. I want it to grow for the future. I want it to be bigger and stronger. And at the same time, reward shareholders with a good dividend.
So, Peter, we've talked a lot about the intricacies of the near term for Ramsdens, but what about the longer term ambition?
A lot of the same, really. I think we've not set ourselves numeric targets, like I've got to get a 10 million PBT, I've got to get to 200 stores. We'll make the right decisions, we'll deliver the right decisions for the short term and the long term. And that's really for all stakeholders. So it's the right decisions for the staff, it's customers, communities where we are, the shareholders, that they're getting rewarded with a growing business, a strong business, and getting income along the way. So the long-term strategy is bigger and stronger, really, and doing things right over that long term. You know, I want to, you know, let's say I'm retired in 25 years and still here, and I still walk down the street and you still see a thriving Ramsdens branch. That's what I want to create.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for talking us through the business and what investors can expect. And we're obviously very happy holders and look forward to being invested in Ramsdens for the coming years.
You're welcome.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.